You have your Bibles this morning. I'm going to ask you to find a couple of passages of Scripture. We'll be reading several of them. The first one that I want to read to you is found in Matthew chapter 18. So we'll begin reading there. Last Sunday we did a series where we were doing a message on the children of God. Prior to that, we did about three messages on the kingdom of God. So this morning we want to go back to the kingdom of God. I think we did about three or four messages on that. I want to go back to the kingdom of God because to me that is one of the most important subjects that we could know about as God's children in this day and time. And it's important for us to know about it so that we can understand what it is that God is doing and what he's wanting to do and he's trying to do in our lives so we can cooperate with his Holy Spirit. Most everybody, how many of you ever thought about you wanted to be successful? Most everybody wants to be successful. I don't know of anybody that doesn't not want to be successful. They want to succeed anyway. They want to make it, in other words, make it through life and be, I don't mean it to be a movie star or whatever, or be some great person or the president of the United States. I just mean being able to get along, being able to pay your bills, all the things that you want to go through in life, you want to be successful in those things. If you work for somebody, you want to be successful that in your job and so you can get some raises and more money and whatever. Amen? Not just so somebody can look at you and talk about how great you are. So I'm going to talk to you specifically about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? If there's any kingdom we ever wanted to be great in, I would think it would be that kingdom. Amen. And then how? Not only just who's the greatest, but how to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Because after all, it doesn't only affect our lives right now as we live from day to day, that is, being in the kingdom of God does affect our lives. And we want it not only to affect our lives here and now, but it has to do also with us being in the kingdom of God who have an eternal home and have the hope and the assurance and the witness of God's Holy Spirit that we are children of God and that we are in his kingdom. Amen? We need that. We need that confidence. We need that assurance. So I just wanted to let you know that that is a great thing to be in the kingdom of God. And we would want to be the best, or we would want to be the best that we could possibly be in the kingdom of God in order to please him. Because after all, he's the one that we're going to stand before one of these days and be judged on the things that we've done in our body according to that we have done. Jesus said we're going to be judged on in our bodies according to things that we've done here on this earth. Sometimes I hate to think about that because I've done, even after being a Christian, I've done some pretty terrible things. And thank God that he's loved me, and I even told God to get out of my life, leave me alone, I won't ever have anything to do with you. Boy, I don't think any of you have ever done that. But I did, and for 4 years I was out of his will and away from him and didn't feel his presence or sense his presence, and I was wondering, after 4 years, if I'd ever be able to get back into God's presence again, although he had never left me or forsaken me. But I didn't know he was there, and we all need to know he's there. Amen? Praise God. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" The reason they asked that question is, I don't know if I'm going to read this anywhere, so I'll give it to you now, is that they, as they were walking along with Jesus, following him, there's 12 of them, of course, They were all arguing among themselves as to who was going to be the greatest when Jesus set up his kingdom. So Jesus, verse 2 of Matthew 18, he called a little child and set him before them. And he said to him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you repent, everybody say repent. And that basically is change your inner self. Change your old way of thinking. Live changed lives and become like little children, trusting and humble and forgiving. You will never enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, whosoever A. humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5, whosoever receives and welcomes one child like this in my name receives me. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble and sin by leading him away from my teaching, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone as large as one turned by a donkey hung around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. When Jesus came to this earth, what he came preaching, his sermon, most of his teachings was about, was his kingdom. And whether we realize it or not, you've heard me say the way up is up and down is down, and they're opposite, and the right is opposite from the left, and there's a light and a dark, and there's a bitter and a sweet. So everything, there is an opposite. And in this world in which we live, there is an opposite of the kingdom of this world in which we've been born into. There's the kingdom of God. And those two are not the same. If they were the same, Jesus wouldn't have come preaching, you need to be born again, you need to be separated out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You need to be translated out from the kingdom which you're now born in, and be born again into my kingdom. And everyone who has experienced that, they've come and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I confess you as my Lord. We don't want to forget that. And it's not just a confession with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. Because he said to many of those that called him Lord, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I ask you and tell you to do? So when we say that Jesus Christ is Lord, it doesn't just mean that we say or come to the altar or come to prayer and say somewhere, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord, so that I can be saved. It means that I surrender. I give up. That's what it means to be converted. To have a change of mind. One Bible dictionary. To have a change of mind says this. It means to have a change of mind with a corresponding change of heart. It means a change of directions. It means that I'm no longer going to try to run my life. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord, and I want him to run my life. That's what it means. And we need to understand that because of religion in this world and all of the things that go on in religion, there's a lot of false teachers and false prophets and things that really don't share the truth, or when they do, And there's some that do to some degree. They probably don't ever really get into it to the degree that they need to get into it, because there's a lot of people that don't really understand that when they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, they're saying that I give up myself. I give up everything that I want to be, and I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want Him to be my Lord, and I want Him to run my life. And that's what Jesus said it means to call upon the Lord. It means don't just call Him Lord and Lord and then don't obey Him or don't listen to Him or don't care anything about Him or don't even think about Him. It means that when He comes into our lives and changes us, He becomes our Lord, and then we begin to speak to our Heavenly Father, because we're God's children. We've been born into His kingdom through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made that possible, and God now becomes not that distant God that we don't really know who He is or where He is or anything about Him, but He becomes our Heavenly Father. We become children of God through Christ Jesus. That's what makes us a part of His kingdom. It means He's Lord. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our Savior. Now, I'm way away from what I wrote down up there. I'm just talking to you from my heart. Why would we want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives anyway? Why don't we just live for ourselves? I might need God's help every now and then. But for Him to be Lord of everything, boy, that's a lot to ask. Are you with me? Isn't it a lot to ask? So why would we want to do that? So let's talk about that for just a minute. I think that's a good question. I think we want to do that because one reason, we need help. Yeah. We need help. How many of you are glad you have a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad or a relative or a nephew or husband or a wife or somebody that from time to time you can lean on because you need help? Amen. And I want to tell you that that's one of the best reasons I can think of, is that we need God as our Heavenly Father and Jesus as our big brother and His Holy Spirit in us, so that when we find ourselves in a time of need, we can have the best possible help that we could ever find. I want to tell you a story because, and you've heard me tell this story before, so to those of you that heard it before, I apologize. Maybe you don't remember it. I'm going to tell it to you again, all right? And the reason I want to tell you this story, it's a personal story of what happened in my own life, is because it's the best story that I could possibly tell you that shows you what God can do in your life. Not because you're a preacher or a teacher, but because you're one of His children. And He's concerned about you. If you're a mom or you're in a family, you're concerned about you. Now, well, some families, you know, I was the oldest of seven, and I wasn't too much concerned about my brothers and sisters. I always ate the most and ate the best and ate the fastest, and I didn't care whether they got anything or not, all right? Are you with me? That was before I became a Christian. After that, I had a little more consideration, not only for them, but so we need a friend. And we need a friend that, and this is what I want you to see, not just a religious friend. Because Jesus put, God, we put Jesus and God into a category that we call religion. And that's when we pray to him and when we talk to him and when we spend time with him and maybe read the Bible from time to time or whatever. That's when we come to him, run to him when we're in trouble. But basically, that's the only time we ever talk to him in many cases. Because he's not a friend a real friend. You can go to your friend, like Jesus tells a parable, and you can go to your friend in the middle of the night, and because somebody has come into your home and family, and they've come from a long distance, they travel long ways, and they're hungry, and they come to you into your house about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and you go to your friend's house and you knock on his door. Jesus tells this parable in the gospel. You go knock on his door and wake him up, and he says, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it, why in the world are you coming to my house at 12 o'clock in the morning, waking me up and getting me out of bed? Don't you know me? My children and I were all asleep. And the man says, I do, but I'm in a desperate situation. And it's not just for me. I have some people that have come in, they're all hungry, and I know your wife makes some of the best bread that there is, and I know you have some on hand. I'd like to get some from you in a little bit. And because the Lord said, not because he's his friend does he get up and help him, but because he realizes the situation that he's in, and he wants to help him and his friends that have come into his house. He realized that if I were to have to come to this man who's at my door right now, he would get out of bed and help me, so I'm going to do the same thing for him. Amen? So the reason I'm telling you this story is because, and the reason Jesus told that story, is because he wants you to get out of your mind that your relationship with him is just purely a religious thing. It's something you do when you want to go to church on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. It's just something you may read the Bible from time to time, but he's not a part of our lives. He's not our best friend. So Jesus told that story because he wants you to know, he wants us all to know, that he's your best friend, the very best friend. Not only that, he's the greatest friend. He's the most powerful, influential being that you could ever have a friend in your life like him. And not only that, whether you realize it or not, like I used to say, and I've said this over and over again, whether you like it or not, God loves you. And he's for you. He's not against you. And so, I want you to get it out of your religiosity. I want you to get it over into your life. And I want you to understand that he's not just about your concern as to whether you believe in him or not, or your religion. He's concerned about anything and everything that affects you, whatever it is. He knows. The Bible said, God knows everything that you have need of before you ever even ask him. He said, I know you have need of all. He said, you don't have to worry about clothes. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about job. You don't have to worry about raiment. You don't have to worry about any of these things. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. And he knows things that we need that we haven't even realized yet. So I learned It took me a while. We have to grow. Everybody say grow. When we become Christians, we have to grow in the grace, and that word means love. We have to grow, we must grow, in the love and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know a whole lot more now after spending 60 years walking with Him than I did when I first started, as you can imagine. And so what I'm speaking to you about is not just because I'm a preacher and I'm preaching from the Word of God, but because I love you with the love of God, and God wants you to know that He wants to be your best friend, and He can help you with every situation you've ever had. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with religion. It has to do with your life and where you are right now. So I've always worked and pastored churches. I've only been full-time pastor of this church, which we started 30 or 40 years ago, back I think in 1979 is when we started this church. And some men came to me. I was having a Bible study at my house over in Portland. Some men that I knew that were in a church that I used to pastor years ago, they came to me and started coming to my Bible study on Thursday night at my house that we had. And they said, "Brother Lewis, we want to start a church in Ingleside." And I said, "What? They've already got about 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 churches over there. Why would they want another one?" And they said, "Well, you pray about it. We just feel like God wants a church over there that's a non-denominational church that we can just reach out to the whole community. And you're sitting in it. Because God said go." And we started. At one time, we had a school and we had like 45 to 50 students here in the back and upstairs. We had them from kindergarten all the way up to high school. We graduated some students here. We had a school here for 5 years. We had 3 or 4 buses. We picked up people. Before we had this building, we met in the lumber yard over there in Ingleside. I'm just kind of giving you some of the history here just so you know what God did. We had 35 or 40 adults, but we were running 3 buses, and we had 120 children coming to church when we first started. Over the years, that grew. This church was packed. You couldn't come to this church and it wouldn't be full. It would be full. We had a school in the back and we had all of these, what we call, successful things. But that was God's doings. That wasn't our doings. So I worked. I didn't pastor this church and depend on the church. When the Lord told me to quit my job one time and I want you to go full-time in the ministry. And we had about 7 or 8 men that were deacons and elders here in this church. And we didn't have a whole lot of money coming in. I always tithed to this church. And generally, because I made more money, what they gave me from time to time was just probably enough to pay for the gasoline in my car. So I worked. I worked for engineering companies. I worked for construction companies. I worked in refineries all over Corpus Christi and Duncan, Oklahoma and Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I traveled and worked, had a wife and 2 children. But I learned, when God said one time, "I want you to go full time, I want you to quit your job and I go full time," I said, "Lord, I can't go over there and tell those men that I want to go as full-time pastor because that church can't afford a full-time pastor. And what are they going to do? They'll all faint." And he told me just very plainly, if you spend enough time with him, you can talk to him like this. You can talk to him when you're driving down the highway. You don't have to go get on your knees and pray. He's your best friend. He will never leave you or forsake you. Your body is a habitation of God. Your body, as a believer and as a Christian, is a habitation of God. He lives in you and dwells in us. Amen? He's there. He knows everything. Amen? And it was like he kind of laughed and chuckled. He said, I'm not asking you to depend on that church. Will you depend on me? Just depend on me. I said, well, Lord, I will depend on you. Because I know that church. And I know those people. It's not they don't love me and they don't want to support me. It's just that they can't afford a full-time pastor. Not according to what I'm making. Because you get used to what you're making. And when you back then, you're making $100,000, $120,000 a year. That's pretty good money, right? And he's asking me to quit my job. So I learned to depend on him. And I'm going to tell you this story because it was one of the most amazing stories that happened to me that he did in my life, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm one of his children, just like we are, you are. And he loves me, and he knows where I am, and he knows what's going on. I was a Title II inspector out at the Naval Air Station. I worked for the OICC, which is Officer in Charge of Construction. I was working for an engineering firm, InTech Engineering. They got me a job at the Naval Air Station, and I went out there as a Title II inspector, which meant I was over all of the mechanical things, the electrical things. I was their mechanical inspector over everything that was going on out there at the Naval Air Station, the Army and Navy, all over, because the Navy owned the whole, that was a Navy base in Corpus Christi. And they told me, the engineering company that I was working for told me when they hired me, Lewis, you may run into some problems out there. And if you run into any problems, I want you to know that we're an engineering firm here and we have civil engineers and structural engineers and mechanical engineers and electrical engineers and instrument engineers. And if you run into a problem, all you need to do is just pick up the phone and call us and we'll put one of our engineers on the phone and he'll answer your question, whatever one it is and whatever problem you're having. Are you with me? I've been there about almost 2 years. I come in to the office and I work for a colonel there and a major. And when I came through the door from lunch, the secretary said, they're waiting for you in the conference room. And I go in there in the conference room, and there's a chair. That's a big conference room, and it has a big table. It's about 12, 15 feet long. There's contractors and their engineers and two or three of their superintendents that are running the jobs and my boss and a couple of others. And there's a table here. I mean, there's a chair reserved at the table for me, and I'm right at the end of the table looking at all of those people. And they've been discussing a problem. And they said, we've been talking about this problem, Lewis. And it has to do with one of your jobs. And we don't know what to do about it, and blah, blah, blah. And they said this and that. And then they looked at me and they said, what do you say? I'm praying. I mean, I am talking to the Lord. But I'm aware that there's a problem, but what the solution is, I don't have the foggiest idea. And they're paying me, in my engineering company, and I don't have time and say, excuse me, gentlemen, while I get up from this table and I go call an my company. They need an answer now. And I said, Lord, I need your help. And these thoughts started coming to my mind, and I opened my mouth and I started talking. I was surprised as they were as to what was coming out of my mouth. Because it was the answer. And when I got through, and it didn't take 5 minutes, they all got up, slammed their books together, and got their briefcases and went out the door, and I'm still sitting there. What just happened? What did I say? And so later, I thank the Lord because I realize, see, and we need to what He wants us to realize, that He's concerned about whatever is going on in your life because you're one of His precious children. And it doesn't have anything and everything just to do with religion. It has to do with everything that goes on in your life. He knows what we're thinking. He knows where we are. He knows how we feel. He knows when we're worried. He knows when we're frustrated. He knows when we're angry. He knows when we're upset and frustrated. Can I tell you another story? These are, you know, this is just from experience of me walking with the Lord. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm one of His children. I got up early one morning, got my coffee. It was about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I usually always get up pretty early. Back then, anyway. Right now, don't call me before 8 o'clock. I may get up at 6. I may get up at 5. I was up at, oh, hell. Anyway. That morning, I got up and I was studying. This has been many, many years ago. And I was studying in my Bible, the best I could, spirit, soul, and body. Which is something I thought I needed to know about so I could share with people so they could understand. Because we are spirit being created in the image of God. And so we are spirit beings, first of all, so that we can have a relation. Like Jesus said, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must, and I'm quoting a scripture right now, don't ask me where it is, but I know it's in the Bible because I'm quoting it, and I memorized it years ago. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way you can worship God. In spirit, in our spirit, and in truth. Don't go try to lie to Him. He wouldn't want to lie to God anyway. Spirit, and then we live in a body, because if we were just floating around in this spiritual realm, in this atmosphere, nobody would be able to see us or talk to us. Are you really, you with me? So He put our spirit, when God formed Adam of the dust of the earth in Genesis, everything was there, heart, lungs, liver, gizzard, what it, you know. Man, we don't have a gizzard, folks. But everything was there for Him to live. But until God bent over Him and went and breathed His spirit into Him, He didn't become a living soul until that happened. Now, that happens to us when we come into this world, and the doctor, if he did this, in many cases that's what they used to do, come out of his mother's womb, picked us up by our heels, and whacked us on the rear end, and the first thing we said is, "Wah, that hurt." We didn't know what happened. But we knew we're alive. We didn't really understand it. What a way to come into the world. Spirit, and whenever he breathed into his spirit, man became a living soul. That soul, we're a mixture. We're a mixture of a body, which is the flesh, that has feelings and hopes and dreams and has a mind and can think, but it also, we're a spirit being that fills this body. So we're spirit, soul, and body. So I was trying to understand that morning. I got up and I was reading, studying. I'd been studying from about 5 o'clock to maybe 7 or 8 o'clock for 2 or 3 hours. I was on my computer and looking up all the scriptures and dictionaries and Greek and Hebrew and all the words I could find. And finally, I just got up totally frustrated. I went out of my den into my dining room. I was on the way to the kitchen to get me another cup of coffee. And right in the middle, there's a wide door. If y'all ever been in my house, it used to be a outside door. So now it's now just an opening. And I got into that opening and I heard the Lord say, "Lewis." And it was so real in my spirit that it was almost like I heard his voice. And I stopped dead still in the middle of that doorway. And he said, "You are trying to understand things that are too wonderful for you. You're trying to understand things that you're not capable of understanding." Wow. And the first thing that came to my mind was, "Hey, that's a scripture." Yeah, and he said, "Job's 42 or Job's 43, and he told me. Tell me where to find it. So I want you to understand by that and that illustration and by the one that I just gave you previously of when I was in a conference room having to give some answers. God knows when you're anxious. He knows when we're worried. He knows when we're frustrated. He knows what's going on, and he's concerned about whatever affects you, and he wants to help you. And he will if you'll come to him. So we said, why would you even want to have Jesus Christ as your Lord? Well, that's why. Because he's the best friend you can ever have, and he can do anything and everything. Amen? Why would you not want a friend like that? And besides that, he loves you. And he cares about you. Everything. And he knows about everything. So I'm trying to tell you, don't just put him in your religious realm, in your little religious box, and think that that's all he's going to help you with, because he can help you with anything. He can help you with a job problem. He can help you with your finances. He can help you with all kinds of things in your life. But you need to draw near to him. The Bible says in James chapter 7, I think James chapter 4, some verse 7, I think it is, says, "Draw near." He's talking to Christian people there. He's talking not to unbelievers, but Christians. He's saying, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things that you're looking for and needing and wanting, he'll provide for you." He's provided for me tremendously well, my wife and my children. I'm still not rich. But I've never had a whole lot of money. I probably never will. I don't want a whole lot of money. All I need is just have my needs met and be a good employee. And he can give me good jobs. He can put you in the place where you need to be and where people will care for you. Amen? And he'll show you what to do and how to do it and all. He knows, and he loves you. So you say, well, draw near to him and he'll draw near to me. Okay, so when you come to church, you're drawing near to him. you're coming. You want to draw near to Him. When you're reading your Bible, you're drawing near to Him. When you're praying or thinking about Him and trying to talk to Him, you're drawing near to Him. So that's how we draw near to Him. We just, and all you have to do is if you're having an issue or a problem, I don't care what kind of it is, you can just say, Lord Jesus, You're my Lord, Heavenly Father. You can say that. You can just say, I need Your help. And if you listen real close, you'll probably say, I know You need my help. More than you think. Amen. But what's your problem? What's your need? What do you need? And just tell Him what your need is. And then we walk. Because we're walking with a God that we can't see, we're walking by faith. Amen? You understand that? We trust Him. We believe He's there. And He is. And we trust Him, and so we talk to Him. Some people may think we're crazy. So don't talk to Him out loud. Are you with me? Especially in a crowd of people. Because they'll wonder who you're talking to and probably think you are crazy. But we talk to Him. And He hears us. And He sends us answers by different ways. He can answer us with just like that. Or He can answer us and put somebody in our lives on it. But we cast all. That's what He tells us in His Word. Cast all. Everybody say all. Your cares. Upon Him, because He cares for you. Amen? And He does. And whatever's affecting you, if nobody else knows about it, you don't have to tell anybody else. You just talk to Him. And tell Him, Lord, I'm having this issue, and You know what it is. And I'll just tell You, it's fear, or it's pain, or it's whatever. And would You please help me with this? And then leave it with Him. Don't worry about it anymore. Because worry and faith don't go hand in glove together. So we walk by faith. We turn it, cast our cares on Him, and then we leave it there and trust Him. Now, it doesn't hurt. If you've got an issue and it doesn't want to go away, doesn't seem to want to go away, and you've talked to Him about it and it doesn't go away, it doesn't hurt to come back a week or two or three. Give Him time. But when you feel it's bothering you again, you come back to Him and say, Lord, you know, I've got this problem, and I talked to You about it about 3 or 4 weeks ago and nothing's happening. Are You going to take care of this? And He may say, give me a little more time. Or He may say, one day it was like He came and sat down in my car. Well, I could tell you. I had two cars. I was making good money. My wife had a brand new car. I had a brand new truck. We bought our daughter, when she graduated, our youngest daughter, a brand new car because she said she was going to work and make the payments on it. So I bought her a brand new Plymouth Sapporo. I'm going to tell you about another problem I had. So here I am. Now I'm trying to make 3 car payments. And I thought, well, that's okay. I'll sell this car real quick. 3 or 4 months went by, and I was still making car payments, and it wasn't sold. And I was working out at the Naval Air Station, and I even went out around to different places at the Naval Air Station, put up these little 3x5 cards all over the place. And I had this car for sale, and about 4 months had gone by, and it hadn't. And so I was talking to the Lord, and I was on the way. I wasn't even talking to Him about this problem. I was on my way. I left the base. And I told Him, I'm going to lunch. And I had one of my church members that had a son that had gone to jail in Nueces County. And I was going down to the Nueces County Jail on my lunch hour take a little bit longer, go down there and see him and talk to him and have prayer with him. And so I was on the way down there, and it was like the Lord just came and sat down in my car with me. And we're driving along there, and I'm talking to him because I want to know. I'm talking to him not about me. I'm talking to him about what is going on with this young man, what's happening in his life, and Lord, what do you need to say to him and what you want me to say to him? And I'm talking to him about things like that. And so it's just like he's sitting there and I'm talking to him. And so when he got through telling me what I was listening, I'm hearing him in my spirit. He's not talking to me in an old voice. You have to learn to hear him in your spirit. Ask him, let me hear you in my spirit. Let me learn how to hear your spirit. That's where we need to hear him. Anyway, ask him that if you're serious. So I'm thinking as I'm driving on, while I've got him in a good mood, this is what I'm thinking. And he's sitting right here. And I'm going to ask him about this car. I need to get rid of this car. And so he's about to leave, and I just kind of look over at him. I said, Lord, now what about this car? And he laughed. Jesus laughed. He knew exactly what I was doing. And he knew what I was going to ask. And so I just kind of, what about this car? As he was about to leave, and as he went out the window, the door, whatever, flew away, he just looked back at me and he said, it'll be taken care of by tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And he was gone. The next day, at 10 o'clock, because I looked at my watch, a man from the base come by and bought that car. And I looked at my watch, and it was exactly at 10 o'clock. Are you with me? Now, he doesn't just do that for preachers. I want to remind you. He does that for his children. And so this is how we as believers can develop a relationship with him. We can talk to him about everything and anything, anytime we want to, because our bodies are the habitation of God through the Spirit. And he's right here, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, you may not, don't go by feelings. Well, a lot of times I feel him, brother. I enjoy that, but sometimes I don't feel him, but whether I do or don't, I've learned that he's right here. He said, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. And he's not a liar. Amen? So I want you to allow him to be the Lord in your life. Not just by word, but be Lord in your life. That means you say to him things like this. He told me one time, I was coming back from Dallas, Texas, down the highway, long trip back to Ingleside, and I got over here between Sinton and Taft, and he said, Lewis, I want you to say something. I said, Lord, okay. He said, I want you to say, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll speak what you want me to speak. So I said, oh, boy, Lord, I'd been talking to him all the way home down the highway, so it's just like we're carrying on the conversation. So I said, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll do what you want me to do, and speak what you want me to speak. And he said, say it again. I said, seemed a little strange. I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll say what you want me to say, I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll speak what you want me to speak. He said, say it again. And now he had my attention as to exactly what I was saying to him. And now I'm thinking, will I go? What if he asks me to go somewhere where I don't want to go? Or what if he asks me to do something that I don't want to do? Or what if he asks me to speak something that I don't want to speak? He said, "Will you say it?" And now, with full understanding of what I'm saying, I said, "Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll speak what you want me to speak. But Lord, I sure need your help." Which was the truth. But I meant it. Because I couldn't go where he wanted me to go and couldn't do what he wanted me to do or speak what he wanted me to speak unless he was with me. Let's everybody stand. I want you to know this. If you're one of God's children, if you've called on the Lord Jesus Christ and meant it with your heart to be your Lord and be your Savior, and you want him to be the Lord in your life, then you're saved. That's who you are. You're saved. You're one of God's children. Now, if you need to rededicate your life, or if you need to really come and make sure that you've done that at this altar this morning, you don't mind coming just, but you want to say it from, and you mean it with all your heart, if you want to pray for somebody, or for any reason, while Mary's going to play something on the piano, or synthesizer, if you want to come right now, I know the Lord's in this place. He's right here. So if you need to come pray for somebody, you want to pray to recommit your life or whatever you want to do, come on right now. Let's pray. I'll lead you in prayer. We'll just pray. Anybody, anywhere. Let's just pray. And you tell him what's on your heart. And I'll pray with you. Anybody else? Come on. Okay, it's about, eyes closed. These people here at this altar are talking to the Lord. He knows their hearts and their minds. He knows what they're talking about to him about. And I want you to know he hears you. And he's going to answer your prayers right now. Because he said, "Where two or more agree on earth as asking anything and agreeing on it, it'll be done." Amen. So we're going to claim that promise right now. So, Father, we're agreeing with these people here at the altar right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that they responded, Father, not to me, but to you. And they're talking to you. And I've told them that you know everything that's going on in their lives and in their minds and hearts. And you know, and they believe that. That's why they're here. And they're responding to you. Maybe they have a loved one. A brother, a sister, a mother, dad, somebody that doesn't know you. Maybe they're praying for them. Maybe they have a family. Maybe whatever, they're praying for a husband. Lord, and we believe that your word tells us, like you said in your word, with God all things are possible. There's not anything too hard for the Lord. That's what you've told us, Lord. So we don't care how difficult the circumstances are, the situations in these people's lives or in the people's lives for whom they're praying or the situation about what they're praying. Nothing is too hard for you because you can do all things. You're God. And so, Lord, we're just going to agree together with them right now. Claim your promise that their prayers have come up before your throne of grace, that you love them and they're going to be answered. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.